Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled The Status Quo, and chapter number 14, entitled Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening, and text number 27. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Although no one in the material world is equal or greater than Lord Shiva, and although his unimpeachable character is followed by great souls to dismantle the mass of nations, he nevertheless remains as if a devil to give salvation to all devotees of the Lord. Please repeat responsively. Although no one in the material world is equal or greater than Lord Shiva, and although his unimpeachable character is followed by great souls to dismantle the mass of nations, he nevertheless remains as if a devil to give salvation to all devotees of the Lord. Purport. Lord Shiva's uncivilized, devilish characteristics are never abominable because he teaches the sincere devotees of the Lord how to practice detachment from the material enjoyment. He is called Mahadev, or the greatest demigod of all demigods, and no one is equal or greater than him in the material world. He is almost equal to Lord Vishnu, although he always associates with Maya, Durga. He is above the reactionary stage of the three modes of material nature. And although he is in charge of devilish characters in the mode of ignorance, he is not affected by such association. ओम ज्ञानतिमरेन्द्रस्य गणाञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचायिने निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पश्यदयिष्ठायिने जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशति गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, everyone. With your kind permission and blessings, I would endeavor to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not possible without devotees' mercy to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. Even if some does, there won't be any transformation of the heart. So let us pray that this class become offering pleasurable offering to all devotees and our Lordship Sri Sri Gaur Nitya Radha Vallabh Jagannath Baldev Subhadramai. We hear in Guru Puja, Prema Bhakti Jahan Hoite Avidya Vinash Hoite. So if there is love for devotees, for Lord, then you will naturally feel to glorify them. And all other desires, if you have, this all are categorized as ignorance. So let me try to offer this Srimad Bhagavatam class as a pleasurable experience. Please bless me. So here, little bit background. Few chapters before, not few chapters, at least this chapter we'll discuss. Varahadev appeared and he lifted earth. And from there, this conversation started. Vidura and Maitreya is having conversation. So topic led to the question that, you know, where, how did Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha came in this world. And Maitreya Muni describes the history behind that. And this chapter is mainly talking about pregnancy of Diti in the evening. So, in that description, Diti's request to unite with her husband was not proper because the time wasn't proper. It was inauspicious time. And Kashyapa Muni requested and tried to give understanding that, you know, this is not proper time. Please wait. And then here we see, you know, word is used for Lord Shiva, unimpeachable. Means one who is never to be held guilty of his actions. But here we see Diti and Kashyapa were doing something wrong, for that they will be guilty for. And he was addressing that Lord Shiva won't be pleased with our action. So please wait. But then later on we'll see Diti couldn't resist and she persisted more and more. And then consequences comes, then Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha was born. So in this portion, Lord Shiva's glorious character has been described. And further few more verses you will see how glorious Lord Shiva is, what is his position is described. So in this verse especially, we'll try to understand how glorious Lord Shiva is. So here if you see, there are 3 points in this verse. So first one is says, no one in the material world is equal or greater to Lord Shiva. Now in this material world, there are three predominating deities who are controlling, governing the universe. And they all are Lord's representatives. One is Lord Vishnu, one is Lord Shiva, and one is Lord Brahma. So, Brahma comes in a category of Jiva Tattva, and Vishnu is, of course, Vishnu Tattva, and Shiva is in between, is Shiva Tattva. So, the Shiva Tattva is very complicated to understand, Prabhupada writes in a few purports. Is neither Lord Vishnu nor Jiva. Is not Vishnu Tattva, not neither ordinary Jiva like us. So he is definitely more higher than Jiva. So definitely he is more powerful than Lord Brahma. And he is inferior than Vishnu. His expansion of Sadashiv in the spiritual world. Sadashiv is Vishnu Tattva in spiritual world. Whereas when he comes in material world, he becomes Shiva Tattva. So he is not on the equal level of Vishnu either. He is inferior than Vishnu. So that way, there is no one actually equal or higher than Lord Shiva. Of course, Lord Vishnu is there in the material world, but he is not of this world. He is from different abode. So in this material world, there is no one equal or greater than Lord Shiva. Then, second point is his unimpeachable character. So we heard that Kashyapa and Diti, the action they are performing is to be questioned and to be they will be punished for that. Whereas Lord Shiva's character, although it appears that he is like he's living like a devil, but still his actions, his word, his thought are never inauspicious. Lord Shiva itself, Shiva means auspicious. The word itself, the name itself is, it means that it's auspicious, all auspicious. So his character is impeccable. We'll discuss this further in detail. How? And he remains, third point is that still he is such a great personality, still he remains as if a devil, this verse is. And why? The reason, only reason is that he wants to give salvation to all the devotees of the Lord. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, the first line itself, he gets this point. And he explains that Lord Shiva's uncivilized, devilish character are never abominable because he teaches the sincere devotees of the Lord how to practice detachment from the material enjoyment. So let us analyze a little bit. Lord Shiva, he is worshipped by mainly two kinds of devotees, you can say, or his devotees. One is karmis, one who wants some material pleasure, material benefits, opulence. So they approach Lord Shiva because they know Lord Shiva is Ashutosh, he is very easy to be pleased. And his wife is Durga, and she controls material nature. So very easily all material boons can be achieved. So one type of people, they are called karmis, they worship Lord Shiva. And another type of people worship Lord Shiva is jnanis. They desire to merge into Brahmjyoti, or some of them desire to even merge into Lord Shiva after salvation. But none of them are actually real devotees. Real devotees, Lord Shiva is mentioning, he himself worships Lord Krishna. He is always meditating on Lord Krishna. So he himself works for benefit of the sincere devotee of Lord Krishna, and he gives them. So imagine, if we have wealth, a lot of wealth, a lot of power and position, puja and pratishtha, we can say, then naturally we will become so attached to those things, and we'll try to show off our position, our wealth, our power. And naturally, one will become proud of that. But here, if we see Lord Shiva, although everything is there at his disposal, still he is detached. So how glorious that person is, actually. You can see how detached he is. In my personal experience, I have seen such people. I'll give a little bit background. In Gujarat, Kshatriyas are called Bapu. You know, if you, those who are from Gujarat, you know that, Bapu. Mahatma Gandhi was also named as Bapu, you know, Bapuji. So this title Bapu means father, or leader, or who looks after their dependents, you know, like that. So Gandhi was addressed like that. Although Gandhi was born as Vaishya, he wasn't Kshatriya, but still that title was given to him, because he was, by character, by work, he was leader. So this Kshatriya called themselves Bapu, you know. And they take great pride in it. And there is history a little bit behind that. You know. I heard once joke, actually. Gujaratis say, you know, Krishna was from Gujarat. Because he established his Dwarka in Gujarat, so he was Gujarati. And then, you know, from UP people come, no, he was Bihari, you know. He was born in Bihar. And that's why we call him Vraj Bihari, you know. So see, his name is Bihari. He is Bihari like that. So these Gujarati people, they think that, you know, Krishna belong to Gujarat. And we all Kshatriyas are descendant of Yadu dynasty, you know. And Yadus were very powerful. Srimad Bhagavatam also states that, right? Their power and position was unparalleled. No one could defeat them. And no one could challenge their prowess. So that was their power. So naturally, you know, if someone has that power, they will appear. Their personality will be very strong, you know. They will be like powerful person. You know, they won't look ordinary. So imitating same kind of mood what Yadus had, this Kshatriyas, after the whole Yadu dynasty went to back to Godhead, you know, along with Krishna, they also thought that we are descendants of Krishna and we are Yadus, we are Kshatriyas, and they kept that same kind of mood, you know, which Yadus had, which is actually illusion. So they would show their prowess, we are something like that, you know, and pride they walk around and they talk like that. But gradually, as time went, you know, whole thing basically in Kali Yuga gets deteriorated and becomes polluted. So everything goes down, you know, minimized. And one person I know, he is from a Kshatriya background and he is also like that. So I'll tell a little bit background about this person. So now see, he's first of all not well educated. He holds one little job somewhere in village. And he has many daughters, get them married. He has little land, he cultivates and gets some money. And he is drunkard and his hand is very free, you know, very easily he spends money, he doesn't save. Even for his family welfare, he doesn't save. And top of that, he begs money from his relatives, you know. And once something happened, there was some quarrel above his land. And he attempted to kill that opponent, a person, you know. And then police caught him and threw him in jail. And he lost his job also. But still, if you see that person now, he'll walk around like it as his Bapu, you know. So he lost everything. He has nothing practically. But still they think that, you know, I'm something. I'm a big person. You know, so this is actually character of worldly people who have actually nothing. They are very insignificant. But still they think that they are something. You know. But here if you see Lord Shiva, he is not like that. You know, he's not like this kind of person. You know, although he has everything, but still he's so detached. He doesn't want to enjoy. He doesn't want to claim anything for his enjoyment. And only welfare work he wants to do is to give protection and salvation to his devotees, devotees of the Lord Krishna. And there are a few examples in Bhagavatam. Prachetas, for example, they worship Lord Shiva and Lord Shiva gave him, gave all of them, you know, Krishna Bhakti. Markandeya Rishi in 12th canto, we hear that pastime as well. And from where I come from in Gujarat, you know, there is very famous personality in history, in past, he appeared. His name is Narsingh Mehta. So he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna. He has written so many hundreds of songs in glorification of Lord Krishna, poems. So he writes in one of the his poetry that how he became devotee of Lord Krishna. So he said, before I became devotee of Lord Krishna, I was worshipping Lord Shiva. And somehow, maybe a little bit sincerity I had, and Lord Shiva gave me darshan. And then I didn't know what to ask to Lord Shiva. So I just asked something. And that word is saying is like that, you know, apote durlab, tamne je vallab. Durlab means very rare, and vallab means very dear. That we have Radha Vallab here. Vallab means who is very vallab, very dear to Srimati Radharani. It's called vallab. So he asked like that to Lord Shiva, that please give me that which is most dear to you. So who is most dear to Lord Shiva? Krishna, you know. And durlab, what is most durlab in this world? So again, it comes to bhakti. Bhakti is very durlab. Even human birth, to get human birth is very rare. On top of that, you know, few of them will become impersonalist. Some of them will show some interest in spirituality. They will become, you know, impersonalist, or they want to go to heavenly planets, they want to merge in Brahma Jyoti. But amongst them also very rare, very few people will ask for pure bhakti. You know, so it's very rare to achieve. We hear from Srimad Bhagavatam time to time. So like that, this person asked, and Lord Shiva gave him darshan of spiritual world. He showed him all lilas, Krishna's lilas, and he gave him bhakti. And since then, he became bhakta of Lord Krishna. So this is only his welfare. Others who approach Lord Shiva, then if they ask for some material boons, Lord Shiva will grant, okay, then don't disturb me, you know, let me meditate on Lord Krishna. If someone wants to get some impersonal salvation, okay, grant you, like that. But if someone is very sincere, devotee of Lord Shiva will take those people to lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So that's only his desire to make everyone devotee of Lord Krishna. Now, in this part of Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear that how Diti got afflicted by sex desire, and Kashyapa Muni fulfills that desire. And Kashyapa Muni also explains how our act at this improper time will displease Lord Shiva. But ultimately, they both become a victim. They become succumbed to their sense, desire of senses. And they both become, they both fail to observe the higher principles. So here it's clear, despite of having knowledge, both of them succumb to the urges of senses, isn't it? They had knowledge. Kashyapa Muni tries to explain. He explains very nicely, you know, what will happen, what will be our fate. So they had knowledge, but still somehow they couldn't control their urge of the senses, and they got succumbed to that. Why? So if we analyze a little bit why, then it's only because they chose to associate with Maya. That is the reason. They chose to associate with Maya. That's why then they couldn't control the senses, and they become victim of Maya's attack. So it was their choice. And what was their choice? Diti. Diti wanted to have sons. Why? Because all other co-wives had their children, but she didn't have any, and she wanted to have children. So someone can say, this is natural for women, and natural for girls, how it can be called as material desire. But yes, it is like, you know, if someone has money, and I say, you know, he has money, I also want money. Someone has fame, or he has a lot of fame, I also want to become more famous than him. Or if someone has a position, then I want position. So this is all nothing but Maya, actually. You know, the desire itself is not spiritual. There is no way you are expressing that, you know, by doing so I want to please Krishna. So this desire is also like that. You know, to have children, because my other co-wives have children. So I also want to have children. So this is actually Maya. It's the material desire. So Shuddha Bhakti is defined by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukulena Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Ruttama. So pure devotional service is that one should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. So desiring to have children is actually not pure devotional service. One can desire, yes, I want to have children, so I'll serve them. They are devotees of Lord, and I'll engage them in devotional service. I teach them Krishna Bhakti. But Diti and Kashyapa didn't have that desire. If they had, then they would have waited for some time. If you see in further verses, you know, Diti pulls Kashyapa Muni's cloth. You know, she was so desperate. So like that, if although they had knowledge, and if they really wanted to have children for Krishna's pleasure, then they would have waited. You know, but they didn't. You know, for example, again, one more example we can give. That I am hungry, for example. And there's nothing to eat, so I chose to go to Kohl's and buy some chips, for example. And then you happen to see me. And you will say, Prabhu, don't eat this. You know, this is not prasad. Okay, I'll offer. You know, I'll offer and then I'll eat. I'm so hungry. You know, I'm so hungry. I want to eat. You know, Prabhu, I'll cook for you. Wait for half an hour. You know, I'll cook for you. No. I want to eat. Right now I'm hungry. So let me eat. You know, and then I eat. So is that really spiritual? You know, I am hungry. I couldn't control my urge of hunger. If I want to please Krishna, I would have waited for half an hour and then ate. You know, so like that, this same kind of situation here. You know, so that desire is actually not spiritual. It's not for Krishna's pleasure. So it's actually material desire. So they chose to associate with material energy. So although they had knowledge, but they couldn't. They failed actually. And again, if we see, Lord Shiva is not like that. Lord Shiva's character, he is always meditating on Krishna. He is always absorbed in Krishna. Mother Parvati once asked, it's in which canto, anyone knows? I think 11th canto, Prabhu, where Mother Parvati asked Lord Shiva, that whom are you meditating on? Somewhere in 11th canto or 12th? 4th canto? So he is always meditating on Krishna, and previous verse we saw he is not favorable or unfavorable to anyone. You know, he is equal to everyone. So he has actually no other desire than to please Krishna. All his actions, his thoughts, his words are meant for Krishna's pleasure. So that is Lord Shiva. And Prabhupada, in further one of the purport, writes, why Lord Shiva never gets captivated by Maya and remains protected by Lord Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada says in that purport, I'll read that. So this is just one sentence here. So that is the difference between a Krishna conscious person and others. Kashyapa Muni was greatly learned and enlightened, and he knew all the rules and regulations of systematic life. Yet he failed to protect himself from the attack of sex desire. Haridas Thakur was not born of a Brahmana family, nor was he himself a Brahmana, yet he could protect himself from such an attack due to his being Krishna conscious. Thakur Haridas used to chant the holy name of Lord 300,000 times daily. We also read this past time in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Two times Srila Haridas Thakur was attacked by illusory energy. One time he was attacked by prostitute, and second time Mayadevi herself took a role as a prostitute and came and tried to allure him. But he wasn't to be disturbed at all. You know, he was so fixed in the chanting of holy name and remembering Krishna that Maya couldn't. So Prabhupada says that's the difference. And Lord Shiva is also like that. Although, you know, Lord Shiva, that pastime in 7th canto, he allows his wife to sit on his lap and he is giving pravachan to sages, you know. So in that kind of situation also, you know, he is not to be allured by illusory energy. So he doesn't, he's untouched by material nature. Only person can disturb him is Vishnu, you know, Lord Krishna. And we see Mother Mohini past time, you know, only Krishna can disturb him. He himself says that. But Maya cannot touch. Why? Because he is completely absorbed. He is completely protected by Krishna. And if we talk about ourselves, what is something important, practical for ourselves from this pastime, from this portion of Srimad Bhagavatam, what we learn from Niti and Kashyapa. So this kind of situation happens in our life also, if you have observed. We also experience same situation what Diti and Kashyapa is going through. Sometimes it happens, you know, although we know this is wrong, but pushings are so strong that we get captivated and we just give up, isn't it? When the intelligence is required the most, that time only intelligence fails, isn't it? It happens. So what to do in that situation? You know, if we know I'm doing something wrong, but I failed, then what to do? It says one should repent. One should have repentance, and same time take shelter of Lord, take shelter of Holy Name, and that's what Diti will do later on, because she feels disgusted afterwards, and she pleads Kashyapa, her husband, that, you know, please do something about that. You know, Lord Shiva is not pleased, definitely, as you mentioned. So she wants to please Lord Shiva through her husband. She pleads, she puts request in front of Kashyapa that you do something about that. You know, she was afraid later on, and then she repents a lot. So yes, one should have genuine repentance and take shelter of Holy Name, and then one can be forgiven. And there are 10 offenses against the Holy Name. And we hear the 7th offense actually is most difficult to overcome. I mean, if someone has committed, to counteract that offense, it's very difficult. If someone offends Vaishnava, we hear that also very dangerous offense. But it's simple in one sense. You know, you go and beg forgiveness sincerely, then it's been nullified. But the 7th offense, you know, to do sinful activities knowingly on the strength of Holy Name or, you know, bhakti, it's very dangerous. One will have a very hard time to nullify that kind of offense. So remedy given to that offense is repent very intensely, sincerely, and take shelter of Holy Name again very sincerely. That will purify eventually. So then what you do if you repented, you taken shelter of Holy Name, but what practically what we can do? So here one practical suggestion is given, that one analyze what makes them to become a victim of particular situation. You know, what is that situation? What situation triggers you to go further? You know, in contemplation and thinking and feeling, and then acting on it. You know, so that situation one should use intelligence and figure it out. What is that situation that triggers me? And you deliberately avoid that kind of situation for in future life. So then one will be on safe side. It's not that once I committed mistake, I repented and I took shelter of Holy Name, and then again if some same scenario occurs, I'll again become victim. Not like that. Then you deliberately avoid those triggering situations, which actually triggers your weakness basically, you know, and then you fall down. I'll give a couple of examples. One devotee I know, he started Krishna consciousness recently. So he was hungry one day at work. And then he told me this thing, this is what happened. So I'll explain you. So he was hungry at workplace, and then he didn't have anything to eat, and he went to Subway. And then he said, I'll eat a veggie burger, no meat. So he explained that person on the counter that gave me vegetable burger. And he explained, you put only this, that, you know, separate area, you clean it up and this.
that, you know, don't mix with any meat, even knife you use, you know, you wash it and then, like, everything in detail he was explaining, you know. And then that person said, yes, 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 we'll do that. And then he brought the burger, he said, and he started eating, and first bite he took, and he saw there was a layer of beef, you know. And that person was horrified, you know, he just spitted and then, you know, started chastising that person. So by mistake, they, whatever he told, you know, they didn't listen, basically, and then gave him big meat burger, you know, beef. And this person broke the regulative principle, you know, and he was so broken-hearted, you know, Prabhu, this is what happened. So now if you see this, if you analyze a little bit, again, you know, you can use intelligence a little bit. Next time, okay, once it happened, you repent, you ask for forgiveness, but next time you try to avoid falling into certain situation that triggers you to do some activities like this. You know, so what is the situation he was in? He was hungry. So better to always have some prasad with you. You know, you make sure that you have prasad. You know, whenever you are hungry, you have access to prasad. So you are not actually allowing yourself to in that triggering situation. You know, I'm hungry, so I need to eat something. But I don't have prasad, so I eat anything. You know, so like that, we avoid triggering situation next time, if you may have to. So that is the thing. And another thing, you know, for example, one devotee was complaining. Not complaining, he was revealing his mind to his counselor. That, Prabhu, I want to become celibate, you know, I want to follow Brahmacharya. So this counselor said, yeah, very, very good. But he said, but, you know, whenever I'm working on a computer, internet catches me. I feel allured to visit all the nonsense websites, you know, and see all the pornography and like that. So this devotee asking, you know, why you have to use computer and why you have to use internet, you know. If that is not required, then avoid it. And that's the first principle he gave, you know, avoid it. So you're not actually allowing yourself to be in that situation that Maya allures you. You know, that's your weakness in one sense. So you avoid to be in that situation that, you know, Maya takes hold of you most strongly, you know. And then he gave few more suggestions that, you know, never surf internet in your privacy, for example. You know, if you have to, you know, if you are working or studying, and if you have to, then make sure you are amongst other people, you know, you are not in private, so you will feel reluctant to do such thing, right? Like that. So these are the triggering situations. So you analyze yourself that which situation triggers me to break my principles and, you know, eventually fall down. So I just stop from there. I don't go further. So this is what we learn from Diti's and Kashyapa's pastime here. So avoid triggering situation. And this is same thing in chanting the holy name also. One devotee sent me one nice, very nice lecture on chanting. And he was mentioning a beautiful point that actually Krishna likes when we deliberately, very consciously avoid to fall into those triggering situations. That gives pleasure to Krishna. That shows our sincerity that I don't want to flirt with Maya. You know, that is the point. Krishna appreciates and he likes that. When we are chanting, mind goes everywhere, right? But if we allow mind to go here and there all the time, that is actually not giving pleasure to Krishna. But if we deliberately and very sincerely and very strongly bring our mind back to the holy name, just by that endeavor, Krishna is very much pleased. Isn't it? So, that is actually service to Krishna. That is actually sincerity. We may not have very high realization. You know, our holy name can give realization. You know, there is Naam, Rupa, Guna and Leela. All are embedded in holy name. You know, they are all there. And Krishna and holy name is non-different, we hear all the time. But we may not have that realization at this stage. We haven't realized. But nonetheless, they are there. So what to do for ourselves at this stage? We artificially think of Leela and Rupa and Guna of the Lord in the holy name. We artificially try to see the Krishna in holy name. No. And all we have to do is work on the level we are right now. So our mind is going away somewhere. Bring it back to the holy name. That itself is very pleasurable experience for Krishna. You know, he sees our sincerity in that. Vraj Vihari Prabhu in Mumbai, once he asked Satsuru Maharaj, what is the thing that gives you so much pleasure and how come you are so much attached to holy name? You know, what is that thing you are experiencing? You must have experience, you know, Naam, Rupa, Guna, Leela. You must have seen Krishna while chanting. Like that he was thinking, because he is so senior devotee, Prabhupada's dear disciple. He wrote Prabhupada's biography. So Maharaj answered very simple. You know, answer wasn't so complicated and didn't explain, you know, too much into detail what holy name's potency is. The answer was very simple. He said, you know, I feel sheltered when I chant the holy name. I feel sheltered. So what is this shelter? Let's understand that also. If there's a lot of rain, for example, and you are outside and you don't want to get wet and get sick later on, so all you want is some shelter. So you run into some house or some kind of structure that gives you shelter. So shelter is there, but one has to endeavor to go inside also, right? So endeavor part is always there. It's not that, you know, that house will walk on you and then you will be sheltered. No. So Krishna's mercy is there, Krishna is also there to give us protection, to give us shelter. But one has to at least endeavor to go and take shelter. Then Krishna will give shelter. So mind is going here and there, so one has to endeavor to bring it back, and then Krishna will protect us. So even in future when he have certain circumstances occur in our spiritual life, certain triggering situation comes that we feel very weak and we feel I am very prone to fall down, one should take shelter of Lord Krishna. So at least that endeavor has to be made by us, and then Krishna will protect us. And Lord Shiva, we see, he is always taking shelter of Lord Krishna, he is always meditating on Lord. So he is always protected. That is why he is always protected by Lord, and he never becomes victim of Maya, Durga Devi. So, I shall end here. If you have any questions, as a tradition, I'm asking, but I'm not qualified to answer your difficult questions. Any comment? Yes, Mahatma Prabhuji.
Yeah, one comment is, as you said, shelter. Brahmanan was the first temple president, 26 years.
Yes.
He told us 2 years that he did not similar thing about shelter. That Srila Prabhupada, when he had a stroke in 67, 31st May 1967, soon after incorporation of SCOM, very severe attack. And they couldn't find any doctor at that time. The situation was very difficult. It's like a crisis point. Doctor was on a holiday or something. So Srila Prabhupada said, bring that picture of Lord Narasimha Devi. So he put that painting of Narasimha Devi. And he said, chant Hare Krishna. And then he got it back. Get me some Krishna. So that is what you take shelter. Very, very important. If we take shelter of the holy name, then the holy name will definitely be.
So in this case, Diti and Kashyapa, if they would have waited and then top of that taken shelter, they would have been protected.
I've got one question. How Lord Shiva is in the spiritual world?
Hare Krishna. You have asked these questions to many devotees and you got already answers. So I'm not, I won't defy, you know, whatever answers you got, you know, I don't know actually. Prabhuji, Gopalindesh Prabhu, you want to share something? You know already, Prabhuji. Who would like to say? Okay. Any other points, questions, remarks, corrections? Okay. Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.